Okay, yesterday we started the Or Gedaliyahu's Maamar on the Eser Makos. Yesterday we learned that the 10 Makos are really... Yehuda, it's good to see your face. The Eser Makos was Hashem's way of revealing himself and concealing himself, the same way that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself through creation, but also hid himself to such a degree that we have to choose him. Right? If you remember, he taught us that the Pasuk says in Tehillim Samach Vav, that Hashem, with your great strength, you allow people to deny you. That's part of the greatness of Hashem, that he's not afraid those who are going to claim there is no God, or claim that God is not involved in this world. And the Makos came to disprove that. The Makos came to show that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very much in charge of the world, and we ended off by saying that each of the Makos was a punishment for the Egyptians, and actually brought healing and revelation to Jews. Right, everything that the Makos did to harm the Egyptians, the Jews were able to be makabel from that light of Hashem revealing itself in the world, and it was very healing. That was this pasuk over here. It's really a pasuk in Yeshaya, Perek Yotes, Negof Verafo, which means afflicting and healing. And Chazal understood it as afflicting for the Egyptians and healing for the Jews. Vayedaber Elokim El Moshe, Vayedaber Elav Ani Hashem. It's Elokim for the Egyptians, and it's Hashem, it's Hashem's name of kindness for the Jews. So now he's going to show us a little bit how the Makos and the Ma'amaros, the 10 Vayomers of creation, actually line up in an amazing way. Kol maka mea eser makos haye makbil umechuvan keneged maimer echad. Right, if there are 10 makos, and there are 10 utterances, expressions of speech of creation, so that means that they have to line up. And yes, it also lines up with the 10 sviros. Yes, it also lines up with the asaras hadibros. There's some very, very amazing connections to be made here. Ukesidron shel eser ma'amaros. So the 10 makos correspond, each one corresponds to one of the 10 ma'amaros. Sorry, I'm just adjusting my screen. What's going on here? So sorry about that. Okay. So he says, Vinevaer Ka'is, top of page 140. So now I will begin to explain, and again, he's not going to go through all 10 makos, but he'll give us 3. Vinevaer Ka'is, Hagimel Makos Ha'achronos, Haksuvim V'parshas Bo. I want to explain to you the final 3 makos, Arbe, Choshech, and Makos Bechoros. And I want to show you, says the Or Gedaliyahu, Heche Mechuvan M'keneged Gimel Ma'amaros Harishonos. How the last 3 makos correspond to the first 3 expressions of speech of creation from the Asara Ma'amaros. Ki birur ha-ma'amaros hayu milamala lamata. Because the way that the ma'amaros and the makos line up is from top to bottom. What does that mean? Ki ha-ma'amaros hayu b'shtalshulus b'tzimtzum achar tzimtzum. Meaning, think of it like this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before there's a world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu fills all reality. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he created the world, had to constrict himself in order to what? In order to allow us to exist, to make a space for us. In Mitzrayim, it's the opposite. Dam is HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealing himself a little bit, and as it goes down, Sfardeya, Kinam, Arov, Dever, Shchin, each one is revealing Hashem a little bit more. So that means that Makos Bechoros, which is the greatest revelation of Hashem, is going to correspond to the first of the Ma'amaros of creation, right? Because again, with creation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is narrowing himself to make room for us, and in Mitzrayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is bringing himself back into the picture, is widening it. So to speak, the bottom of the Makos is going to be the top of the Ma'amaros of creation. Okay, so in other words, Makos Bechoros will correspond to Bereishis. Choshech will correspond to Vayihi Or. Okay, so let's see. Let's go step by step. Again, the ma'amaros are expressed from top to bottom. Because with each bit of creation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was constricting himself to make more room for us. ukamo shekvar amarnu b'shem asfas emes. Ki ilu hayu b'riyas ha'olam b'maymer echad. Like we already explained, if a Kadosh Baruch Hu would have tried to create the world in one moment, in one expression, ha'maymer shel b'reishis, if Hashem would have just created the world through one expression of speech called b'reishis, it would be too easy to see Hashem. He hadn't constricted his light enough. Lo hayu ba'olam hester klal. Right? There would be hardly any concealment of God at all. Uvachol maimer, and therefore with each bit of creation, nishtalshel ha'ares habori yisbarach liyoser tzimtzum. HaKadosh Baruch Hu put up another wall, so to speak, another divider, another constriction. Imagine, a person's wearing glasses, right? Clear glass, so you can see perfectly clear. Right, so now imagine I take a little butter and I rub some butter on my glasses. So now it's a little bit harder to see. And now imagine I put up, I have one of those clip-on sunglasses things, right? So now it's become even darker. So with each bit of creation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, was making the world a little bit darker to hide himself a little bit better. V'nitzamtzama giloi kvodo yizbarach b'soch habriya. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was constricting his kavod is always a code word for his essence. His essence was being hidden within the Bria, within creation. So now when we try to pull back the layers, we go from the bottom up, right? Dam reveals Hashem a little bit. Svaridaya a little bit more. Eventually when we get to the 10th of the Makos, we're so to speak back to Bereshis, right? To that point where HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not so hidden at all. And that's why when we leave Mitzrayim, we see Hashem, we see the Yad Hashem very clearly. Through the first makam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulled back the 10th layer, so to speak. Final three makos, arba choshech and makos b'choros, correspond to the first three vayomers, the first three expressions of creation. Again, this is obviously a very deep sugya. Again, think about how it also corresponds to the Sviros. Think about how it also corresponds to the Aseres Hadibros. So what does that mean? Again, does it work also from bottom up? In other words, does Anochi Hashem Elokecha of the Aseres Hadibros correspond to Makas Bechoros? Does Lo Yia Lecha Elohim Acherim correspond to Choshech? Right, Yehuda Colton's giving me a thumbs up. He thinks that's how it works, and makes a lot of sense to say it that way. Okay, aval kadna ayein bezeh nuchal liros ktsas hakivun shel elu gimel makos leelu gimel mamars. Right, so let's try to match them up a little bit. Okay, here we go. Today we're just going to do arba, and then tomorrow Mirtz Hashem will do choshech and makos b'choros. Ksiv vayomer elokim yehi rakia b'soch hamayim vihi imavdil bein mayim lamayim. Right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, let there be a rakia amidst the water, between the water, let there be a heavens, let there be some type of heavenly body, right, to separate between the upper waters and the lower waters. Zo haisa ha-maimer ha-shlishi ha-briya shel yom sheni. This is what took place on the second day of creation, and this is the third vayomer. So it corresponds to, again, counting backwards from the makos, this corresponds to arba. So you think for a second, arba, locust. What does locust have to do with Yehi Rakia B'soch HaMayim? What do locusts have to do with the second day of creation? But, says Rav Gedalia Shor, amazing things. And again, this is just, he's literally just scratching the surface for us. There's a lot of work to be done here. Uvi Gemara, Rosh Hashanah Lamed Aleph, Amid Aleph, Isa B'yom Sheni Mahayu Omrim. What do we say in the Shir Shalyom for the second day? Gadol Hashem u'mehulal ma'od. Hashem is so great, and mehulal is greatly praised, deserves many types of praise. Why? Al shem shechilek ma'isav u'malach aleihem. The Gemara says, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu divided up, as it were, his actions or his creations, and he ruled over them. In other words, let's think about it for a second. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. The notion that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could create anything that exists other than himself, or that seems to exist independent of himself, is a big chiddush. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could make anything a multiplicity of Hashem is the ultimate in oneness. Hashem Echad. Hashem is one, and it's not like it's not the type of one of a one that's followed by a 2, 3, 4, 5. It's perfect oneness. So the fact that there could be anything else, the fact that there could be a Jeremy and an Albert and a Noam and a Yehuda and a Yosef and a Nani, the fact that there could be any of these different beings is a chiddush. It's a chiddush atzum. So Gadol Hashem u'mehulal ma'od, on the second day of creation, chaver, think about it. What does it say? It doesn't say Yom Rishon on the first day. It says Yom Echad. And if you remember Rashi, Rashi says it's an Echad because it highlights not a Rishon that's followed by a Sheni. But yes, there is a second day, and there is a third day, and there's a fourth day, and we call them Sheni, Shlishi, and Revi. Right? So the question is, how does Hashem do that? And Hashem does that through great humility. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes room for others, and at the same time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when He makes a multiplicity of things, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes it very clear when He wants that I'm still in charge, that you're not an independent being who can do whatever he or she desires, right? There's no such thing as that. So therefore, let's look again. What is this Yir Shel Yom of Yom Sheni? Great is Hashem, and He deserves much praise because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Chilek Ma'isav, HaKadosh Baruch Hu divided. Again, Yehi Rakia B'soch HaMayim. What's the key word here? Vihi Mavdil. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could separate, could distinguish. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could create an appearance of other is an awesome Chiddush. Va'ashira Shayu Omer B'chol Yom Hayim Mechuv V'neged HaDvarim Sh'nivru Bo'osu Hayom. So the Shir Shel Yom of the second day is expressing the feeling of the Chiddush of a second day. The fact that there could be a second day. And from the Gemara, what's revealed to us here is that Brias Yom Sheni Haya Inyan Haribui. What is the, in one word or in one concept, what is the Chiddush of day two of creation? It's the concept of Riboy, multiplicity. That there could be more than one of anything is an awesome Chiddush. It's an awesome Chiddush that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do such a thing. Right? In other words, it's sort of that first point of concealment on a certain level. Let's think about it for a second. If we're counting backwards from Makas Bechoros, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu Bechvodo Uva'atzmo, like we say in the Haggadah, Ani Velo Malach, Ani Velo Shliach, Ani Velo Saraf, Hashem Mamish Giloy Shechina, Mamish. And then we go back one Makkah to Choshech, right? Choshech for the Egyptians, and Or for Bnei Yisrael. Or is the greatest mashal that we have for Hashem. So that's also very much revealing Hashem. Where is that first point of concealment? Again, compared to the other layers of concealment, it's still very revealed. But sort of that first point of concealment is the fact that Hashem made a day two. The fact that Hashem made a multiple of anything is the first move away from the echad of Hashem. Chaver, does it make sense what I'm saying? Give me a thumbs up if I'm making sense. We're talking about some deep ideas here today. Okay, good. I'm glad you're following. So, Chaver, the second day of creation, the concept of a reboy, of a lot of anything, right, is a very dangerous concept. You understand why that's a dangerous concept. It could question the oneness of Hashem. It's a challenge to Echad, the fact that there could be a Sheni, that there could be a reboy, that there could be a multiplicity of anything, is a dangerous concept. So therefore, v'habiyurhu ki riboy shayach rak sheyesh havdala. The only way to make riboy, says the Or Gedalia, is when there's a concept of havdala, of distinction. Right? How do I distinguish one from two? If I'm looking at a basket that's full of apples, right? So do I see one basket or do I see individual apples? So I need to use the koch of Havdalah to distinguish, to be able to identify. I could say it's one basket of apples, or I could say, well, no, this apple and that apple are actually different apples. There's 12 different apples in this basket. So I need that koch of Havdalah, of distinction, to distinguish between numbers, between 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, right? On a certain level, I could lump it all together and say, we're all part of one world. We're all part of the oneness of Hashem. Or I could start to break it down, and I could say there's a Sammy Mandel, and there's a Seth Foreman. There's different parts of the Bria. There's apples and there's oranges. Okay? So the ability to distinguish is a very powerful tool. Ki al yedei ha-havdala shehivdi l'kadosh baruch hu being kol ha-protim b'habriya, when Hashem gave each thing sort of its place in the world, yesh kan riboy shel protim, Hashem made many individual things, many unique and individual things, v'lechein b'riyas yom sheni hu inyan shel riboy. So the very concept, again, of day two of creation is the concept of multiplicity, of an abundance, of individual things, a move away from that singular oneness of Hashem. Milvad ki etzem adavar sheish mitzios shel yom sheni hu riboy. And the Or Gedaliah says, in addition to the fact that there is a second day, that itself is a riboy, but the concept of day two is, again, breaking things down to the pratim, individual things. Ubrias hayom shel havdala moral inyan riboy. So creating a day of distinction means creating the possibility of a multitude of things. Shal yedei habriya shal havdala nasa hariboy pratim b'habriya. And that's what the Gemara means, that when we praise Hashem in the Shir Shal Yom of day two, we praise Hashem's place, and yet at the same time for Hashem to rule over them. Shechilek maisa v'hivdil ben pratim b'habriya, to divide up the pieces of creation, v'oz hayashayach b'chinas melech. But only once there is a multiplicity of subjects can Hashem truly be the king looking down upon his kingdom. B'habechina shel ein melech below am. Because what could Hashem rule over if there's no people, if there's no kingdom, if there's nothing to rule over? Okay? However, it's a deep concept. Let's go further. Let's explain how it connects to Arba, and then we'll come back to this amazing footnote that he has here for us. Okay? Just by a show of hands, has anyone ever seen, you know, a picture of a modern-day plague of locusts? I'm sure some of us have seen, no? You've seen? Sam, you never saw? You never saw a picture of some kid in Africa, momish, like, standing in a swarm of locusts? There's nothing...
Yeah, maybe on Google once or twice.
Yeah, I mean, it's an amazing thing. It's a crazy thing. We talk about a multiplicity of something. You talk about an abundance of something, yeah? I mean, those images, you see a plague of locusts in Mamish. I mean, there's a million of these tiny little locusts that just, you know, swarm in these massive groups. So there's no better way for Kodesh Baruch Hu to kind of express riboy, a multiplicity of something, than arba. That's what the word itself means. Arba, of course, means locust, right? But arba is a lashon of rov, an abundance of something. And again, just look at a picture of a swarm of locusts. It's just overwhelming. On the one hand, there's a oneness to it, the way that this massive swarm moves sometimes, right? Like this black image of this cloud of locusts moving all together, and at the same time, each one is its own little world. So arbehu lashon riboy, says the Or Gedaliah. Now we understand. The second day of creation, the third Vayomer, so to speak, the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu divided between the upper waters and the lower waters and made a space in between, it corresponds, that third utterance of creation corresponds to the third to last plague of Arba, which is a Lashon of Riboy, an abundance. V'lechein b'ha Arba b'riboy uvakamus g'doyla. And therefore when locusts come, they come in great number, unbelievable numbers. When the locust came, it was the greatest. It was the greatest sort of re-experience. It was the full expression of the concept of day two of creation, of havdalah, habriya shel havdalah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was able to make distinct things. Ki be'emes im ha-maimer Hashem shel yihi rakia hayu hashpa shel da'as. Now he's going a step further here. He's saying that Yehi Rakia was a tremendous hashba of das, ki lahavdil ben kol prat uprat tzrichim hadas, lahakir hachilukim sheyesh ben kol prat uprat. Okay. We're not going to fully go into this now, but what he's saying is, and he's going to explain a little more in a second, chachma, bina, and das. Chachma is the beginning of an idea. Bina is the expansion of the idea. Das is the full grasp of an idea. Das is the ability that when I have two little locusts in front of me, I'm able to say, you know, it's not just locust and locust, but this is locust, you know, Reuven, and this is locust Shimon. To be able to distinguish between things means a very deep grasp of things. Das. So Das is associated with Havdalah, Where do we say Havdalah in our Shemona Esrei on Motzei Shabbos? Ata chonein la'adam das. Because the Talmud Yerushalmi says in Brachos, im ein das, if you don't have a das, Havdalah minayin. How can you distinguish between things? Right? How can you look at two people? You say, oh, you know, these people from a certain region of the world, oh, they all look the same. Right? Well, that's a very foolish take on things. They may look similar, right? But they don't look the same. You look at twins, you say, oh, these two people look exactly the same. They're not exactly the same. A discerning eye can distinguish between them. So a person who has das, a person who has deep intellect, is able to discern between things. Shahavdala ba mitoch bihiras hadas. When you have a clear understanding of things, you can understand that there's upper waters and there's lower waters. And that's what Hashem did on day two of creation. Two representing distinction, Hashem was able to say, not all water is the same. There's an upper water, there's a lower water. That's what Hashem did on day two. V'lachein habriya shal yom sheni, shayabriya shal havdala. Day two, vayavdeh, when Hashem separated, v'hi mavdil bein mayim l'mayim, when Hashem separated between the waters, it's a day of das, lahavchin ulahakir ha-havdala. However, think about it for half a second. The makos are divided up between two parshios. Shemos ve'era bo. Ve'era has seven of the makos. Bo, like its name, gematria 3, has three makos. Arba, choshech, and makos bochoros. They correspond on a certain level, and again, I'm only using one school of thought. Those three makos and the seven makos are divided the same way the sviros are divided 3 and then 7. What are the 3 and then 7? Keser chachma bina, or sometimes called chachma bina das, chabad, the intellectual attributes of Hashem. And then the first seven makos correspond to the emotional attributes of Hashem, chesed, gvura, teferas, etc. So in other words, if we're using this inverse property, what we're saying is that Arba Choshech and Makas Bechoros in reverse correspond to Das Bina Chachma. Right? Das Bina Chachma. Going upwards, backwards through the intellectual attributes of Hashem. So in other words, what the Or Gedaliah is being Meramis to here, and it's based on other Svarim HaKadoshim, is that the concept of Havdalah, which we saw on day two of creation, the third expression of speech, the dividing between the upper waters and the lower waters, corresponds to the eighth plague, the plague of Riboy, the plague of Arba, the plague that represents multiplicity. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu created on day two, and that's what Makas Arba, Makas Arba comes to express. Okay, take a look at this footnote for a moment. Footnote 1. Okay, I know there's an obvious question, so you'll say, okay, so now we're telling me these three Makos. Well, anytime I have three, I have to think, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So who's Arba? Is Arba Avram? Is it Yitzchak? Is it Yaakov? So this is a little bit tricky if we try to match it up like that. So don't do that right now. But just read the footnote. It says in Sefer Yoshua, it says, Va'arbe es zaro, ve'atein lo es Yitzchak. Va'arbe, I will make your zera arbe. I will make, Avraham was promised. I will make your children many, arbe, not arba, right? But arbe, I will make your children a riboy. And therefore, I gave you Yitzchak. Nu, chaver, what's the question? Ulechora, ma riboy huzeh? What kind of riboy is that? I'm going to make your children abundant, and therefore I gave you one child named Yitzchak. That's not an abundance. Halo apasuk mesayim v'tein lo es Yitzchak. How could you say that Yitzchak is sort of the proof of making Avraham's family abundant? Ache inyan hu ki Yitzchak shemidaso midas hagvura. Yitzchak is the midah of Gvura. If Avram is the first Jew, Yitzchak is the second Jew. The concept of day two of creation. The first time we had a multiple of Jews, many Jews, so to speak, Avram and Yitzchak. And the midah of Gvura, that complex world of Gvura, Yitzchak is the most mysterious of the Avos. You might think that Yitzchak is the most boring, pardon the word, of the Avos, right? He doesn't talk very much, he never leaves Eretz Yisrael, he's turned very much inward, but sometimes a person who keeps to himself, a person who doesn't display everything in public, is actually very, very deep, is very, very multifaceted, multicolored, so to speak. As he says here, Kama Gvonim Vekochos, a person who has the Midah of Gvura contains within him many colors and many kochos, many strengths, many forms of potential. And just because you don't see it, they don't display it publicly, doesn't mean that there's not tremendous depth there. V'hu shalit aleim u'ma'achdam, right? That's the concept of Yitzchak, the ability to take a multitude of something and to kind of keep it all together. Just like Avram, it says, Echad haya Avram, the Navi says. So Yitzchak represents sort of a multiplicity. And therefore, says the Arizal in the fourth line, Arbe, right, both in terms of this Pasuk and Sefer Yeshua, that I will make your children many, or Arbe, the Makkah of Arbe, of locust, is Gematria Yitzchak. Arbe is 208, and Yitzchak is 208. Ki arbe shehi inyan shel riboy, the concept of a multitude of multiplicity is in fact the concept of Yitzchak. Again, the second Jew in history. There's a lot to work out there. There's a lot of depth to that. Echad haya Avram, like the Navi says, and Yitzchak represents the world of multiplicity. So yes, on the one hand, Avram was given in this pasuk, a bracha of one son named Yitzchak, but if you understand what's contained within a Yitzchak, it's everything. It's all Yitzchak's the first real born Jew, and all of Judaism is found within him. Which is why at the Akedah, if Yitzchak dies, the whole history, everything Jewish ever goes down with him. And if Yitzchak lives, everything Jewish to ever happen is contained, is contracted, is compressed into that moment. Okay? Chaver, let's keep going. By the Makkah of Arba, it says that it will become immediately clear that Mitzrayim will be destroyed. In Makkah's Arba Hayashpa Shel Das, when Makkah's Arba arrived, along with all of that storm of locust, came a clarity that Mitzrayim's not gonna survive. That was the moment, sort of the point that, you know, the straw that broke the camel's back in terms of there's no chance that Mitzrayim is going to recover at this point. At this point, the Jews are definitely going free. The Mitzrayim started to really get it. This whole mission of knowing that I am God, that Hashem is expressing through all the Makos, really clicked in a clear way with the Makkah of Arba. There was a Hashpa Shel Das. So Gam Yitzchak Mitzrayim Nisgavra Midas Hadas. That was true for the Jews and was true for the Egyptians. It was afflicting. The Das was afflicting of Egypt. In other words, it was that moment where the Egyptians mentally had a mental breakdown. For the Jews, it was the moment of it finally clicked in their head that we're definitely going free. Hashem is going to take us out. For the Egyptians, this was the moment where they realized that their society that they had worked to build and to create was going to crumble. As the Makos compounded, it was hard for the Egyptians to hold out. At a certain point, they almost wanted to get rid of the Jews. They couldn't take it anymore. At a certain point, the Egyptians wanted the Jews, get out of our country. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in fact, and this is one of the secrets that the Rishonim already knew, of the hardening of the heart of Paro. Everyone thinks the hardening of the heart of Paro is HaKadosh Baruch Hu trying to punish Paro. The heart of Paro is also strengthening Paro to not crack. Whereas he was so broken by the Makos, he wanted to let the Jews out. He was ready to let go. But Hashem says, I want to finish my display of my might. So Hashem strengthened, not hardened, but strengthened Paro's heart. As the Chizkuni, I think the Svarno maybe also says, he strengthened the heart of Paro to give him the strength to be able to stay in it a little bit longer. Paro was ready, certainly by Arba, Paro was ready to throw the Jews out. It was clear as day, Das, they had the clarity that there's no chance they're going to recover. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them strength to continue to suffer, so to speak, so that Hashem could display his might in Mitzrayim. HaMitzrayim sheishtam shuba midas hadas l'chazik u'lahachmer es libam. The Mitzrayim used their Das, again, Das is the solidification of something. So the Egyptians use that Das to solidify their stubbornness to not let the Jews go. She yelled him to keep us Hadas, Lispol Ha'onchim, Velo Lehachnia Mipnehem. That the Egyptians use their Das to be stubborn and to not submit themselves before Hashem, and to not surrender. That's how they misuse the Das. What about for Klal Yisrael in the final paragraph? Eitzel B'nei Yisrael Gam Kei Metzinu. Shem hamaka shal arba bo hashpa shal das. However, we know that part of what we're trying to do in getting out of Mitzrayim is to get back to our das. Right? The Svarim HaKadoshim, the Arizal, talks about Mitzrayim as a golus hadas. A couple weeks ago in the Haggadah Shir of Rav Meir Shapiro, so we ended off by saying that we call Pesach a Leil Shimurim, because Shmira means das, right? To be shomer something, if I want to guard something, if I want to watch over something, I have to be a person of das. A person of das has the ability to keep an eye on something. If I don't have das, then I can't watch over things. So the whole night of Pesach is getting back to das. And that moment of das came really already with the eighth makkah, the makkah of Arba. L'man tesaper ba'ozne bincho ben bincha, eis asher solalti b'mitzrayim. Hashem says, I'm doing these miracles so that you can tell your children how I made a mockery out of Mitzrayim. Ve'es ososai asher samti bam v'idatem ki ani Hashem. This is that breakthrough moment where Klal Yisrael really got to know Hashem. Of course, it increased with Choshech, Makas Bechoros, Zekeli Va'anveyu, pointing to Hashem at Kriyas Yamsuf. Hare Mefuresh B'Torah, Sha'atachlis Shal Makas Ha'arba, Ba'abachina Shal Rafoli Yisrael. The healing effect of Makas Arba for the Jews is that their minds were finally starting to be set free. Hayeshias Rabe Etzla Midas Hadas. A deep understanding of Hashem, lahakir hashkachas habore, to recognize amidst the multitude the oneness of Hashem, amidst the swarm of the arba, to be able to say amidst all of the abundance, there's a oneness to all of this. To see the Yad Hashem in all of it, lavolah kavar shel viadatem ki ani Hashem, to be able to recognize that there's only one true God, even when the world is made up of a lot of different things. Okay, we end today, chaver, with this footnote. Footnote number two. Because if you think about it for a second, we have a little bit of a contradiction that we have to resolve as we conclude. And that is, hold on a second. Das, clarity, understanding, distinction, being able to recognize the difference between one thing and the next thing. Hold on a second. The Seder night is a night of dibur. It's a time for speech. When a person speaks a lot, usually that's an indication that they lack understanding. Sometimes a person will try to overcompensate, to pretend that they have what to say by saying a lot, when they actually don't have anything to say. A true chacham, and chachma again is chachma, bina, and das, is that package called chabad, called understanding. A true chacham is usually very quiet, is very reserved, doesn't have a lot to say, right? The Gemara says that when you have a pushka, when you have a tzedakah box, and there's not a lot of money in it, and you shake it around, it makes a lot of noise. When the tzedakah box is full, it doesn't make a lot of noise. In other words, a person who's full, a person who's a wholesome and complete person, doesn't have to always be talking, doesn't have to make a lot of noise, doesn't have to always, you know, tweet and post and publicize everything that they're doing, right? Because they have a fullness to their life. A person who's shallow or empty or lacks deep connection always has all sorts of fake connections to try to look like they're involved in a lot of things. So says the Or Gedaliah in a footnote to conclude, Hayamargala Bapume. Again, Rav Gedaliah Shur didn't, the Sfarim were compiled by his children. So this footnote is from one of the children. Maybe Rav Avram Shur wrote this footnote, possibly. Hayamargala Bapume, my father of Gedaliah Shur used to say, he used to often quote from the Ishbitzer Rebbe, Debe'etzem dibur yaseira histira lechachma. On a certain level, speech is a contradiction to wisdom. Upegam b'midas hadas. A person who's deeply connected. Again, if we think about das in the concept that it first appears in the Torah, that Adam knew his wife. Das is a code word for the intimate relationship between husband and wife. Right? Those private moments are very quiet moments. Kedi'isa siyag lechachma shtika. A siyag, a fence for wisdom, is silence. You prove that you're actually smart when you don't always have something to say. Like the Gemara says about Haman, because he was such a rasha, he jumped right away. Even though he was the least of Ahasuerus' advisors, he was the first one to comment. V'zeu habiur b'masha omrim b'piyut hadeyav hadibur l'chay olamim. Says the Ishbitzer Rebbe, it's an amazing line, when you say, for those who say, Haderes v'amuna, habina v'habracha, hagayva v'hagadula, hadeya v'hadibor, l'chai olamim. It's a stira. Deya and Dibur. Das is the opposite of Dibur. A person who's really connected doesn't have to say so much. Dibur is the opposite of Das. Exactly, says the Ishbitzer Rebbe. Hadeya v'adibur, to be able to bring together Das and Dibur at the same time, l'chay olamim, only a Kadosh Baruch Hu could really do such a thing. Ki kol hadvarim shemachashvim sham heim stira zeh lezeh. Hadaras v'amunah is a list of things that contradict each other, and that's why we say, l'chay olamim, that you, Hashem, alone are able to reconcile these opposites. V'omim ki rak etzel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shaykh Shia Shnehem Biachar. Only by Hashem could you have these two opposites coexisting. Das and Dibur. Vizel Masha Omer. And yet, by the way, this is the whole Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's a Golas HaDibur and it's a Golas HaDas, and it's a Geulas HaDibur and it's a Geulas HaDas. We freed our minds and we freed our speech at the same time. How could that contradiction be? Only Hashem, who took us out of Mitzrayim, could make such a ironic, paradoxical redemption. Ki eitzel baser v'dam, by a human being, hadeya v'adibur heim tarti disasrei, by a person, speech and das are a contradiction, but by Hashem, ein hadibur stira l'deya. But by a Kodesh Baruch Hu, speech is not a contradiction to connection, to das, to understanding. And that's what it means, l'man tisaper ba'oznei bincha v'yadatem. The chiddush of the Seder night is that on the one hand, as we sit in the presence of Hashem, we should sit there quietly, just meditating on the fact that there's a borei olam. And yet, of course, the avoda of the Seder night is to talk and to talk and to talk. Kol amarba l'saper hareza meshubach. It's a contradiction that Hashem allows us to experience on the Seder night. Ki al yedei riboy hasipur yetzias mitzrayim, the talking of the Seder night actually increases the das. It's not a contradiction to das. Hashakol amarba l'saper yetzias mitzrayim hareza meshubach. Sha'adam nis'ale v'nasa ba'atzma v'shubach. The person himself becomes a shubach. V'ein la'adam l'achshosh. And a person shouldn't think, if I have so much to say, maybe that's a pagam in the midah of das. Not at the Seder. At the Seder we become, because it was a redemption through the chay olam, that Hashem himself took us out of Mitzrayim. On the Seder night when we talk, it's not, we're talking because we're nervous, because we're not sure what to say, so we're just blabbering. We're just saying too many things. The Seder night, we feel so comfortable in Hashem's presence because Hashem is so clear and so real to us. Das, we have such a clarity of Hashem. Amidst all of the pratim, we recognize that oneness of Hashem. That's that world of Arba, a locust storm, which on the one hand, again, looks like this pack of locusts moving all together, and at the same time, each individual locust has its place. That contradiction of Das and Dibur is what we allow ourselves to enter into at the Seder. We express our das through a riboy of dibur. Okay, so this is how the second day of creation, the third utterance, the third vayomer, corresponds to the third to last makkah of Arba, Arba b'gematria Yitzchak, that world of gvura, the world of multiplicity. Tomorrow, Mirtz Hashem, will conclude the mimer with Os Gimel, where he'll explain to us how Choshech corresponds to Yior and Hesbochoros. Okay?